Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is an incredible episode with Basement Puke, creator of Nick the Neck and Derek. His view and how he's able to let go of preconceived notions and stuff and just create the way that he wants to and create the things that he likes is an incredible view of what it means to be an artist and sell toys that you absolutely enjoy. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review, subscribe wherever you get toy podcasts. If you want even more and you want to support us for free, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. And if you want to jump on the YouTube channel, you can subscribe, see all the unboxings that we do with different artists that send us toys that we pick up, because toys are life. And if you want to support us even more and get more content, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. For $3 a month, you get an extra piece with each artist called The Nitty Gritty. It's fantastic. Each episode has a specific question for each artist, and we absolutely love it. Now let's get to this episode of Toys on Tap. What's up? Dude, I'm pumped.
I'm just trying to, I haven't ever used this computer for a Zoom.
You're knocking it out of the park. Everything seems like it's running right.
My audio does not have headphones on. It's being weird.
Okay.
How's it going?
Going good. You have so many toys I just want to talk about, because it's a style that you don't see that often. So I'm pumped to talk to you about it all.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it.
I don't know if you've heard of Toys on Tap, but we do interviews with toy artists from all over the different parts of the toy scene. And you were next on my list, and we've been trying to make it happen.
I'm pumped. Let's talk about toys.
Heck yeah. Before we jump into anything, got to introduce yourself. Tell us what you do.
Basement Puke, also John. I make toys that I guess are a little bit outside of what normal toys look like. Really just try to make things that are fun to hold. That's my thing.
If I had to give you a choice of what we are going to talk about first, how did you get your name on that list? Because Basement Puke that's a name.
So I have all my stuff in my basement. This is my basement behind me. I guess I started making resin toys. And I had no real workspace, so I would make them on the floor of my bathroom in my basement. So I guess maybe I just thought Basement Puke, it's fine. I don't think too hard on anything. So I wish I had a better answer, but that's probably what happened. I thought I'm in a bathroom and I'm making toys in the basement. So Basement Puke.
There is, first of all, for a basement, looks great. Like if I had a basement, it wouldn't look like that. But secondly, there's something funny about you potentially being on the floor of a bathroom, like cooking up toys, and someone walking in on you and you have to like look up at them.
Well, it is. It was weird, but I had nowhere else to do it. Unfortunately, I probably, with first starting and mixing colors and stuff, I definitely stained some of the ground, but that's fine. Then I moved up to the back of the basement, the dirty part, where I did most of my early resin stuff. And eventually moving away from resin, since I'm just sculpting, really, I'm now in this nicer part of the basement. So
yeah,
where I can't make a mess, I guess.
you said that you make toys that basically don't fit the conventional, what we would call a toy, I guess. I mean, let's start there, and we're going to walk back and forth through your life, I guess. But, like, the fact that you can even acknowledge that What's making you do this? Like, what kind of, where are you getting these ideas? What's happening with these toys?
So I don't plan anything. I sit down and I sculpt stuff. So like I have some examples. So I'll show, like, this is a really early one that probably nobody has seen. If you can, so it's a,
oh, heck yeah.
So I found, most of this was just some wood I found in my yard, and then I glued on these crappy arms from, I think I got a bucket of little toys from Target or something. And so I was like, oh, there's a face in this. And so I started doing stuff like that, just weird stuff. I don't have it here, but like I took a battery and glued, I think, a dice and a head onto it, just looking at how weird things can fit together. But then just started sculpting everything, and I tend to just do things that I like. I know that's like a common answer, but if I think it's fun, then maybe someone else thinks it's fun.
But based off of, so that is a, I think most people would say they like to make what they like. And I think a lot of people do, but they stay still within the like zeitgeist of what public would want or something. So I'll find something I like in there. But that first toy you showed me, that toy is great, like made out of sticks. And like, that's, yeah, it's so, is, and you, did you resin cat, like mold and pour? Is that what that is?
Whole thing. So
gosh,
it's just glued together. So these are separate pieces.
Yeah.
This is a separate piece, and this is a separate piece. But it had this, like, these, if you can see, are like just part of the wood. And I probably just glued this on, and it looked like a mouth. And I was like, oh, that's a toy. Why not?
It reminds me.
It's just a regular, stick it in a cup.
Rotella Resale, your premier collectibles, toys, and novelty retailer. Find the best and hard-to-find diecast vehicles and action figures. Some of the most popular vinyl LPs, Zippo lighters, and comics. Support the best artists with our rock t-shirts and posters. You will find so much more at RotellaResale.com with free shipping on U.S. orders. Use promo code RADIO for 10% off your order. Visit RotellaResale.com. That is RotellaResale.com.
And one, this is, you know, just one mold. I wasn't very good at molding. So I also, part of this is I ran out of patience. So that's why I moved into like a soft vinyl. Was I don't have the patience or wherewithal to do all of the things to make a mold work.
Yeah.
So a lot of my toys, so, like, for example, this one that this is a resin version of that newer one, Derek.
Oh, it's so, I can't wait to talk about Derek.
So, like, this was one of the first toys I made. I was like, oh, this actually looks like a toy, probably. But again, if you look at it, there's no, it's just stick it in a cup and pour some stuff over it. And then, like, I kind of moved on to weirder things, like, this thing.
Yeah.
Which another part is I can't paint anything. So all of my resin toys were like, how can I make the color happen?
Yeah.
With no paint. So luckily now I know enough people who know how to paint things that I don't ever have to paint anything ever again.
Yeah. Man, so I got to hear about the past, how you grew up with toys and stuff. I grew up in the 90s in like the back end of the heyday of toys, with all the fun, like Street Sharks and Cowboys and Moon Mesa and stuff. Tell me about growing up with toys, Saturday morning cartoons, if you had a lot of toys, all of the above.
So, I mean, I had like a bucket of Transformers and like that kind of stuff. I think I was more just into, I watched a lot of cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
I'd run home for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and like that whole thing, like that, the 3 to 5 o'clock block after school, kind of stuff. But even things like, I mean, I loved like Rescue Rangers. That was like my thing.
Heck yeah.
And so I think I was always just into visual stuff. I didn't have a ton of toys. My parents were like, we're not going to buy you a ton of toys. Mm-hmm. So, which was fine. And then I think I just like weird. I just liked watching a lot of cartoons, like even like high school, I think was when the Pokemon TV show premiered around. And I'm like watching Pokemon after school and whatever. And I'm like, this is fun. That before I even understood anime or what that was, I'm like, why not? I'm watching this and the Digimon and stuff like that. And so I think I was just always into like the weird kind of stuff. And so got older, always was into collecting records and stuff like that. But like, didn't really collect toys. And then just, it was actually a huge snowstorm here in Maryland. And I was working at the record store. I walked down because all the roads were closed, and he made some resin stuff. And I was like, how do you make it? And he's like, here, go on YouTube. And so I just kind of got into making, I do a lot of things just because there's no like background to it. I just go do things, you know. I'm like, well, I can do this in my house. I'll do it in my house. And so just got into making toys, and like, I collect a lot of toys now, but most of them are like really into like just the wacky, weird stuff of like, that looks like somebody went like this.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, like, I like some of the, like, stuff that's like sleek and cool and so on, but like I mean, like I love like this.
Yep. You know?
That's just weird and awesome. And like all my friends like the Dirt House stuff, and like and then like the False Idol stuff.
Heck yeah, he was on not that long ago.
Yeah. And then I have too much Neil Ewing stuff to show.
Oh, dude, if we can even just take a pause, Neil Ewing, his work is so great.
Yeah.
I have a couple Bonnies on my shelf. I just gave away 5 Bonnies. Mm-hmm. I have a Gordon on my shelf. I have a Bubby and a Coco on my shelf. Like, too much.
I mean, I got into him because of the Sofubi couch.
Yeah.
So I have like 3 of his couches that I put the Bubbies on. because so I'm just like, it's like that kind of stuff that like kind of gets me kind of just thinking of like what toys mean to someone who's 42.
Yeah.
Not what toys mean. Like, I try not to look at it as a nostalgia thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think like, toys mean something different to like a child than they do as an adult. And so like, they're this weird in between. I don't know if I'd say, I know people would think differently, like, but it's not like, it's not fine art to me. It's just cool
mm-hmm.
art. That's kind of fun and should be seen as like a weird kind of thing. Like, you know, but like at the same time, I sometimes table it just like the punk rock flea or something like that. And I love that kids come to the table and they want the toy, or I give them to my friends who have kids and they just like want to hold it. I have one friend whose son I just gave one of the new toy, Nick, to, and she sent me video of him like telling the toy a story and like talking to this toy. And I'm like, I don't do that anymore, but like, you know, to me though, they mean something else. Like I'm sure you look at your collection and kind of hang out and are like, wow, these are really cool objects.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm not having a story time with my toys anymore.
You're missing out. You need to make story time.
I could, I did. I have made some weird videos with the toys. I did a toy video. I don't know where. I guess maybe it's on YouTube somewhere, but it's it was a whole video of why you should play with your toys. Mm-hmm. And like they attacked me because I wasn't playing with them enough. But yeah. Like, that was
when you. I mean, real quick, show and tell thing. What is the weirdest toy you have around you that you're like, this is the one that is like the weird one?
So, I mean, I love it, but it's weird, this Lee toy.
Oh, he is beautiful.
And it comes, so you can take the head off.
Yeah.
And then it's just this little head, and you can swap it with this kind of doll head.
Oh, the head is creepy.
Yeah, with these ridiculous abs. And the whole thing is like a weird, and it's a nice size toy.
Yeah.
But like this kind of stuff where it's like, and the arms are in like a weird spot.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't totally make sense. But like, you know, like there's this whole kind of scene, especially like in like Hong Kong and such, that are doing some really cool toys.
Yeah.
They're weird.
I got some show and tell then. Here's my my weird one. I got two weird ones. I just bought one. I'm really into TMNT bootlegs. Like they're all the weird ones are on my wall. I try to get at least one of every one that I find. This Bebop, look at how ugly he is.
Perfect.
And he just is some Mexican type bootleg. Who knows what part of Mexico, but he like they work on the peg system. He's just so ugly. Seem they just didn't care about anything about it, and I'm all about it.
Oh, and I love that. It feels like somebody just was like, let me throw this together and sell it.
Absolutely. And then one I recently got was Fat He-Man.
I just saw a big fat Godzilla ripoff.
Oh,
I forgot who the maker was, but like real derpy grin. I'll send you it later, but I don't remember. But yeah, just I mean, I like when people rip off of things, especially.
Yeah.
But bootlegs, like, you know, like starting with resin, like the kit bashing, and like that's kind of where I started doing things. But because I didn't have such this like nostalgia of like this like past toys, kind of like different like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like I love the show, but I'm not like I didn't have all the toys.
Yeah.
Tried doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let me, instead of like kid bashing toys, let me like do stuff like this thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'm still, to me in my head, I'm like, I'm kid bashing, that's what this is. I'm taking stuff and mashing it together, but then not realizing I wasn't really doing that. And then so kind of just, you know, started making things that like maybe fell into the toy, like what toys were. So like this I did with like a group of friends. We did like a mini toy kind of thing where we all made little ships or vehicles and then made it so they could all fit into the same, so they could swap vehicles. So like I made this weird flyer kind of thing.
Oh, heck yeah.
So like the little guy comes out and then like they could put, so we all sculpted around this one ring in the center. Mm-hmm. So that all the toys would fit in together. So I was like, oh, this is like a toy. This is something that I could see someone playing with, you know.
That's super fun.
And so it just kind of went from there. And I had like this weird, like I was just making too much stuff. I made like this weird, I don't know what you'd call it.
I love it.
Dirk House painted this. Just like weird looking faces. And this was my official little puke man.
Yep.
And just did like weird, like this weird crying man. It's hard to see.
Oh, I like him too.
And then things like it's like a lump with a little head. So like just whatever, I did a lot of just squishing things, and that's how like I like this one. I'm sure like the Derek people probably know how to sculpt. I don't really know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so like this was like I just layered things.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't sculpt it per se. I just mushed it together and then stuck arms on it.
It came out great. It's like the fact that that's how that happened. But before we get there, I got to figure out how you got to art. I mean, growing up with Transformers and stuff, great thing to grow up with. I had the Beast Wars Transformers, so they were all animals. I didn't get any of the first ones that came out, like Cars and stuff. And then after that, are you going to like art school? Did you doodle a lot when you were a kid, try to make weird stuff? What was that like?
I wish I had a good answer. I just try things. I didn't go to art school. I majored in literature. I just try things. I thought, oh, this is fun. I'll just do this, you know, or like, I can't draw at all. I'm bad at drawing, but I do it all the time. I make lots of mini zines. I'm a high school teacher, so I will make these zines and I'll photocopy 10 of them and I put them on my desk and then kids will take them and color them in.
Okay.
And I'm like, and they'll say things like, wow, you're starting to improve. And I'll be like, thanks. I guess I am someone who will always try to do it and will try to finish it. If it comes out good, I don't know. But I probably spread myself thin, but I do the toys because I think it's fun. I make music because I think it's fun. I'm trying to do a text adventure video game this summer. That I don't know how to program, so a friend will program. But I'll write the story. I kind of just follow this line of like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, so many people are like working with kids are so like, maybe this is like I used to listen to like a lot of punk rock and whatever, but like you see people and you put them on a pedestal and you're like, I can't do that. I'm going to not be creative in any way because I don't think I'm good enough at this or it's difficult or whatever. I think if you just do it, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, obviously some people are better at things than others. I'm not saying they aren't. It's always worth doing, you know, like over the pandemic, I was like, I don't know what to do right now. I'm stuck at home. So I'm like, I guess I'll just start recording black metal. So I just started doing that. Okay. I'm not great at guitar, not good at that stuff, but I'm like, I'll just do it. It's not, it'll be fun. I did that, got into dungeon synth. If you've ever heard of dungeon synth.
I have not. What is dungeon synth?
I figure this is fine to talk about because we're all nerdy people, but
yeah.
So if you're into, if you listen to black metal or anything like that, a lot of the, or any real metal or whatever, there's like the weird intro music that sounds like spooky, weird stuff.
Yeah.
So that kind of got extracted and became this thing called dungeon synth. So it's just the synth music that, which is, it's now kind of exploded into like, you know, people listen to like that and like chiptune and like all sorts of weird, like nerd metal related music. So I was like, I can do that. Why not? Empire Blister.
Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1.18 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters. Now sponsor Toys on Tap. That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's COYSOMTAP 10. Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
So I think my feeling is just try things, do them, you know, like it's supposed to be fun. Like this past summer, I remember I was like, you know, I used to do like the lino cut prints in middle school. I remember with my art teacher, we'd carve the things and whatever. I'm like, well, I might as well do that. So I started doing printing, which was super fun. And, it's just like, just do things. That's what it tends to be my way of doing stuff is like, I have this idea. Well, why don't I'll just do it. Why not? So, and then I end up with kind of when we were talking about in the beginning, like I make toys that I don't think fit totally into what, like, I think they're toys. But I'm like, you know, like there's things you can hold and play with and, you know, they're weird. And like, that's kind of been how I've done everything. Like the Nick, the neck one, I'm just like, make a weird face and a fat body. And for some reason it's hard to see in the clear, but.
Oh, he's wonderful.
I was like, I'll put some wings on the back and. Is he sitting? Are his legs? What is going? Is he a sled? I don't know. But like, so like, for example, this one, my main goal was to make the neck joint seem almost like it would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it kind of happened. And so when you turn the head, it's really like a nice thing. So that was my main goal, was a good neck.
It worked out. To have a character like Nick the Neck is such a funny character of just like rolls of the neck all stacked up. It's great.
Just was another one. I'm like, well, how much is too much?
Yeah.
With the neck. And I was like, well, I'll just add an extra layer. Why not? And that's kind of goes on to like how I make music and stuff. I tend to draw things out. I'll sit here and I will set out to write a song. And then I'm like, oh no, I wrote an 11-minute song. I like would play these parts over and over again, way too long, but it's what I like. And so with the toys, I'm just like, I don't know. Like I see what other people do and I'm like, that's really cool. And then I end up messing it up and I do something else that I'm not meaning to do, but I'm like, I still like it. So it's a lot of just follow whatever my fingers are doing. And I think my main thing is I really am not very good at doing things. I just try.
Yeah.
I try to make it work as best as it can with the skills I have. And so I feel like that a lot of people put so much into what they're doing to make it like as perfect as possible or as beyond their skills. And I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just try to make it work with what you have. And I mentioned like punk rock before, but it's like finish a song, finish a toy, whatever it is, just make it work. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people can tell if you put zero effort into something.
Yeah.
I think if there's something put into the thing you're making, whatever it is, I feel like you can pick up on that. Like I look at this toy. This is someone I've kind of worked with in Japan.
He's great.
And these are fully hand sculpted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I look at it, I'm like, this is the lines. And like, it's, to me, it looks perfect. Like, you know, how could you even accomplish that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's such like a fun, I know that they sat there and toiled over this forever. And I love it, you know. And then I have something like from Triple Bummer, just like so weird and fun. And like, but I look at it and I'm like, this was so thoughtful in a weird way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all that really matters with being creative, is trying to be thoughtful and having fun. Otherwise, what's the point of making a toy?
Absolutely. In your journey, you get this kick to start resin from this guy at the record shop, and you start, before you get to Sofubi and doing all that stuff, what's the first things you're trying to do with resin when you first started? Also, what year was it when you started?
What year was that? Well, I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm trying to think in terms of, okay. So before I got into Sofubi, I had a toy show in Baltimore that happened 3 times called The Dead Have Resin. And got sure. together a bunch of like toy people and so the last one I just noticed, and I posted about it, was 5 years ago. And then there were 2 before that. So let's go with 7, 8 years ago. Maybe I was doing stuff to start. I was just doing weird little sculpts, you know, like messing around with things and seeing how it worked. No real goal other than I need to make something, and then I need to make a mold with it.
Mm-hmm.
And however it happened, it happened. And luckily, I also I'm friends with, if you don't follow, Green Plastic Tunnels.
Heck yeah, Andrew.
So, you know, he kind of helped me out with certain things, and just kind of showed me a couple things. And like, I've, you know, been to his house a bunch of times. So I was lucky to have some people around that could just be like, this is kind of what you do. Mm-hmm. And so I will admit that initially I got to a point where I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore, because it was like, this isn't there. And, you know, as much as you tell yourself it's not for other people, when mm-hmm. nobody cares, it starts to become like a point where you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting in the effort? You know, it's not cheap to make these things, and so on. And so I had this moment where I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I ended up obviously not giving up. And I did this thing where I was making toys, and I decided not to charge any money for them. I was like,
okay,
I'll just do it like a year of free toys. So you just claim them, and if you throw me a little bit of money to ship it to you, I was doing just free toys for a year. So, and it wasn't like meant to be like publicity or whatever. It was like, I feel bad, I just want people to have these things, so I will give them away. It doesn't matter to me, I'll deal with it. And it kind of just got people at least interested in what I was doing. And so eventually I'm like, okay, I can't sustain this. So I'm like, is it okay with everyone if I charge a little bit for toys and so on? And so then I was able to keep going, and here I am, I guess. So that's kind of the beginning of like what was going on. It was probably a weird move to do that, but I was like, you know what, if people are excited to have this, great, I'll just go this way.
It's a solid move. I mean doing giveaways is fun, but to start out with like everything's a giveaway is awesome. And I like, it drew people to you, which it did its job, which was cool. So how far into resin making over the last, let's say, 8 years did you get before you said, I want to sculpt and do vinyl?
So the first toy I did in vinyl is this one, Alva.
Yeah.
Weird little thing. And I guess that was probably 2019, something like that. I was just feeling like I want to make this jump, you know? Like, I saved up some money, and I was like, you know, I didn't want to get into like any debt or use credit cards. I was like, I'll just save money and buy it.
Yeah.
You know, the worst case is I don't make it a bunch of it back and whatever, you know, go from there. But it worked.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes me proud of this is I have not put any new money into this since I started. I'm not making tons of money, but I make enough to make the next toy. So I see myself as a weird little toy nonprofit.
Yeah.
Where the goal is sustain my hobby and have people be kind of excited about things I'm making. And so it also, on the practical side, resin, sorry to anyone who's big into resin, I think it sucks to work with.
Yeah.
It was the most frustrating thing in the world to put all this time, wait for the molds, try the molds, and be like, they don't work. I guess I have to do it again. And I'm sure anyone who's done resin, if you're listening, you know what I'm saying. It's such a frustrating process, no matter how much effort you put in. So like, you try really hard, it doesn't work. You don't try really hard, it doesn't work. And then maybe somehow it works. So, and it got to a point where I was spending so much time casting and so on that I was like, I'm already spending a ton of money to make these things. Why don't I do the part that's most fun, which is do a sculpt and then send it to someone who will do all of the work. I just pay a little bit more money than normal. And that kind of, once I started doing the vinyl toys and not having to do any of the harder side of it, I'm like, oh, this is perfect for me.
Yeah.
I can do this and not be stuck in my basement.
Yeah.
Dealing with chemicals and so on.
Man, to like, you are poking at what drives so many of us nuts with like resin. I don't love, I mean, I do love making toys. I do. But like having them 3D resin printed, once I knew that was an option, was something great. Or to know that factories are so much more accessible now, it's awesome. Yeah, there's this company that just came out not that long ago. I want to say it's called Silly Putt. I can't remember fully. I ordered two of them. They sent me one for free, where it's all in one mold solution in this container. All you have to do is heat it up and it like liquefies, and then you pour it over whatever. And then if it didn't work, you chop it up, put it back in the bottle, and you can reuse it.
Goodness.
It's pretty dang good.
Good work.
We'll find out. I'll let you know. I'll post about it if it doesn't work. But I think being able to reuse mold solution like that is going to be a game changer, because I mess up on molds so often.
Yeah. And like, I know people chop up their old molds and put them in and kind of pour over it. And I'm like, there's part of me that's like, there's no way that'll work for me and I'll waste more time. Yeah. So I think resin has its place. I think it's an interesting way of doing things, and it is to me, it makes sense to start with resin before investing in like getting a soft vinyl toy done. Yeah. Because it truly is an investment in what, in this hobby. It's not like, to me at least. And so, messing around.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait. Salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DLV2! Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys!
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE!
With sculpting or whatever, or 3D printing, and then molding and casting, and really figuring out. To me, it's like a time to figure out your style and what you're into and what you think you want to do, as opposed to like, and like, maybe you, this is a weird maybe analogy, but it's, to me, it makes me think of tattooing and how mm-hmm. I see lots of people now who go get tattooed and they'll just get like everything done at once.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you know to do that? And I have a lot of tattoos. I'm like, how are you so confident?
Yeah.
That this is what you want right now forever. And the same thing goes with any hobby. I'm like, you got to work on it, test it out, see what's going on. And I think resin is a cool place to kind of mess around and figure out stuff. And obviously people do amazing things with resin. It just wasn't me.
Yeah.
And so it was cool to, but you know, some people never want to move away from resin.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the medium that makes the most sense for them, which is totally cool. I just wanted to, you know, bury my head every time I'm like, oh, I gotta cast even five things. I don't want to do it. I just,
yeah,
I'll get it over with.
Yeah. You know, working and doing runs, it sounds awesome to get a run done or to say that this toy is fully done. But to work on it, like through that process, sucks sometimes. If it's, it, you got to love the game to really want to make and like mold and cast and paint 20, 30 figures. And
oh my gosh, I would never do that.
30 yeah.
figures might as well kill me.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know, I'm like, I did five. This is good enough, you
yeah.
know? And then the fifth one always looked kind of weird. And so, but I do think soft vinyl is super fun. And I think people don't always understand that it's not that different of a process
right.
from resin. And that, you know, when we say factory, it's like, a guy in a place pulling all the, like, just as we are casting resin.
Yeah.
You know, like doing essentially the same thing, slightly, obviously different process, but like, I don't want to be him.
Yeah.
I don't want to be someone in Japan or China or wherever, or even here in the US now, people are doing it. And I'm like, here's my money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with, you know, but it's all fun. It's all for, to me, it's all for fun. Like, I think that's the main part of it for most people. I know
yeah.
people make a living doing toys and stuff, and that's awesome, cool. It'd be fun to do that. But it's so much, I think I just don't have enough drive.
Yeah.
To hustle that hard to make that work as a thing that I could live off of.
Mm-hmm.
And fine with being a high school teacher. And then I come home and do my other things. So.
Do your students know about all your different sculpts and your Sifubi and everything?
Yeah, they sit on my desk, my toys.
Nice.
And I have other toys that I've collected that are like less precious to me.
Yeah.
I display and I have in my classroom. And so, no, I keep them on my desk. kids come up and they take them and they hold them during class and they'll fidget with them and hold them and whatever. And then they return them to my desk.
Yeah.
And then certain students who I've had twice or come to my room a lot. Usually by senior year, they're like, I want one of your toys.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, there's a conflict of interest. Don't buy any toys for me. But if they come and ask once they're about to graduate, I always give them toys. That's my thing for those kids. So no, they totally love, they're like, and they also say things like, you could make so much money doing this. You just gotta put it on here and do this and that. I'm like, no, I don't want money. I just want to make toys. I'm glad that you're ambitious and with what you want, student, but I have I just want to make enough and I'm glad that you like it. That's basically what I tell them. But yeah, they're aware. They're aware of my everything that I do. And it's, but it's, they're into it. They're like, this is so weird, but it's so cool.
But let's like, talk.
Go ahead.
Well, let's talk two figures. The two that we've brought up already once or twice. I like them a lot. They look fun. Aesthetically, they're fun. I've seen a lot of other people painting one of them, which is incredible. I want to talk about Nick the Neck and Derek. Derek is such a unique piece because it doesn't necessarily have eyes. It has arms, but no articulation. It is just this walking gelatinous thing that you made. How did you come up with such a usable design? Like I think I've seen ceramic ones.
Dr. Doomtone did ceramic ones.
Yeah, and then painted and so tell me about Derek.
Well, like I kind of said earlier, it's really just mushed together, like layer of I use that epoxy sculpt stuff, the two-part thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of layered it, and then I use like a vehicle grade clear coat.
Mm-hmm.
And I spray it on top to get it smooth, and I was just like, I know everyone looks at it and they're like, oh, it's fun, it's gloopy. But the part that I love is just that the top is really smooth.
Yeah.
It was like my main, I was like, oh, it just looks nice and smooth. That's cool for me. I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was fun, like when, and it's slightly different. The eyes are a little bit more pronounced with the resin.
Yeah.
I made the resin toy and I kind of was like, that was fun. It's my past. I kind of set it down and didn't think about it. And I have some toys around my desk that I've made. And I was looking at it, at the sculpt again. And I was like, well, it would be like a fun finger puppet. It wouldn't be like a huge investment. I'll just make it. And then like people really dug it because it's like a weird little blank that it's easy to put your own, especially for painting, it's easy to put your own kind of spin on it, whatever you want. And people like it. So I'm like, go for it. Whoever wants to paint it, you can paint it. I don't care that much. Pocket Salsa did a ton of weird resin bootlegs of it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, anybody wants to bootleg my toys, it's fine. Do it. Have fun. It was like this weird accident of like a early resin toy that I thought the design ended up being really cool. That then made it into the Sofubi kind of world. So it was just a fun, lucky thing.
Yeah. It's so good.
I appreciate it. It was fun to see people really get into it.
The reception, I mean, and then all the different colors that you've done, and I think I saw glow in the dark coming, or it's already here, and clear, and going from a toy that is simplistic in nature and how it like flows, and that there's no edges on it, and it just has this like great effect. Then going to like Nick the Neck, which is so different. How are we getting Nick the Neck?
So I started sculpting it with just the neck part. And then I made the head. My main thing was to have like kind of a weird, like goof face.
Yeah.
And I realized I started sculpting the body and I'm like, I had wanted regular legs, but the head was so heavy
mm-hmm.
with the neck being that long that there was no way to do, it would have been way bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Way more money. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. So he's going to be seated. So that was part of it is, and I like the idea of giving him like, it's like, oh, I'll give him some texture or like a sweater kind of thing. And, so this goes back to that, like not really great at sculpting everything. So instead of hands, I always make weird claw things because I can't do, I try to do fingers and they look terrible. And so, you know, it's just like this process of adding on stuff that you're into. And I'm like, so originally he had no hair. And I'm like, I was talking to some people and I kind of jokingly put a mullet on him and they're like, you got to keep the mullet. So he got this weird haircut with like the, you know, straight line there with the little mullet and you know, like that's really what it was, just this weird, I tend to bounce ideas off of some of my friends and they're like, no, you gotta keep that. And so
it's such a fun sculpt that it just, and the way that you talk about it just adds stuff that you like to the sculpt, which is helpful because in making toys, it's not like I'm adding stuff that I like. It's like what works, what doesn't. But if I just added what I liked, might make a better toy.
It's a weird, it's weird to let go.
Yeah.
Cause you have this feeling of, well, I'm going to sell this. It's just, you got to just kind of go with what you're into, I guess. I don't know. I feel like if you are always trying to make things for others and that always creeps in, you can't help that, I don't think. But it's like a, if you're not like, this is cool, I want to have this, you know, on my desk, or, you know, like if you're not your number one fan of yourself,
mm-hmm.
like these toys are fun, you know, like, I'm not ashamed to have it on my desk at work or on my desk where I'm sculpting. I look at them and I'm like, oh, I made this cool thing, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's a really good thing. I hear a lot of artists talk about how like they make things that they would want on their shelves or their desk. And I'm into that. I just don't know that I can get comfortable with the idea that it might not be wanted by anyone, which is okay. I want to stay in the same boat that you're in where it's like my art is funding my art. That's something that I think about definitely. When you look at your pieces and you look over the 8 years that you've done in both resin and now vinyl, and you look at all the stuff and the different sculpts and sculpting what you like and looking at Derek and all those things, where do you think you're headed next?
I never really like, I'll probably make a smaller toy.
Yeah.
To start. I mean, it would be a dream to do like a fully articulated toy, but they are very expensive to make.
Yeah.
And realistically, I'm like, if I want to keep making toys, I have to keep in mind the box that I'm able to stay like kind of comfortably in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you see people who make a toy, they go all out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool toy, but it like it's so much pressure to sell it because it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, the artist kind of disappears or says, I'm done with this, and, you know, quietly goes away, which is fine. It's hard to always want to sell things. But I think it's important. I think people, and this is a hard thing, I think, in this kind of the culture we live in where we want everything immediately.
Yeah.
Is just to take time and do something small that won't destroy you and that you can sell for not a lot of money.
Yeah.
And make your money back. Like, you know, I see people come out with their first toy and they have to charge, you know, $100 to $200 for a toy. And I'm like, well, that's cool. I don't know how you sleep at night.
It's yeah.
Kind of, you know, like knowing how much that costs. So I feel like it's okay to try lots of things. Yeah, just try stuff. Don't do everything at once. Don't throw everything into your first toy, especially a soft vinyl toy. Just kind of pick something that's doable, that you're excited about, and make sure you can go from there. I don't know what I really said, but that's how I kind of have, over the course of like the past 4 years, I've managed to make, I'm trying to think, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 7 different vinyl toys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never go, like, Nick the Neck has been the biggest one. But going small is also fun. You know, like, I think especially like someone like, look at like Dirt House, who has this huge toy, but then has the best like minis,
yeah.
You know? And so you don't need to go all out. It should be fun and something that you don't need that instant gratification of the biggest and most intense toy or whatever it is you're doing. It's fun to just sustain what you're doing.
Heck yeah. I think that's a good, like, solid advice. I see people go all in and it's like, uh-oh, like, you better hope that this pans out. But yeah, that's solid advice. We are coming to the end of Toys on Tap interview, and we leave the end of the podcast for two things. One, mm-hmm. a time for you to get plugged, and you plug everything, like when your shop opens, because I know you close your shop periodically. And then two, we move into something called the Nitty Gritty, which is a Patreon episode that's specific for each artist, where they give 10 to 20 minutes of specific topics just for you. And I have yours ready, because you do something specific that not many artists do, so I'm really excited about it. But before we get to the Nitty Gritty, please plug mm-hmm. Everything about you, where they can find your art, where they can hit you up if they want to collab, all that stuff.
Instagram, Basement Puke is the best way. I will reopen my store this summer, because work and stuff, I tend to just open it for short periods of time so that I can not make my whole life selling things. Mm-hmm. And then I would look for future collabs with, I mean, False Idols has some stuff up right now. Then Dirt House and Triple Bummer and Spirit Ditch and Dr. Doomtone all will have stuff going. And yeah, just follow on Instagram for what's going on. I tend to kind of lay low throughout the school year, but summertime, the store will be open all summer. So if you're into things that I make, you should follow me and then you'll see what's going on. And I do often answer questions. So if you message me on Instagram, I will respond. I'm not mean person.
Heck yeah.
Try not to be.
Dude, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.